Intervju Radija Študent.
Lep pozdrav v intervjuju Radija Študent, v katerem se pogovarjamo z belgijsko veteransko zasedbo Deus, ki nocoj v 20-letni karieri prvič gostuje pri nas v kinu Šiška. Na sredini poti evropske turneje benda smo se pogovarjali z njihovim basistom Alanom Gvertom, izkušenim muskontarjem, ki je v bendu od leta 2005 dalje. Deus je ena bolj markantnih sodobnih rokerskih zasedb stare celine, dejavna od zgodnih 90-ih let prejšnjega stoletja. Deus v svoji glasbi pa berkujejo po zapuščinah Zape, Beefhearta, hrupnega roka, koketirajo z džezom, sodobno elektroniko in popoidno senzibilnostjo v intimnih, dobro krojenih pesmih, skozi katere se pretakajo podobe. Podobe, ki so izmaličene, začenčene s sencami nadrealizma in večkrat upete v cineastičen milje. Hkrati so včasih, oziroma vedno bolj upete v običajne čustvene introspekcije, začinjene z igrivostjo in lahnim erotičnim ritmičnim pulzom. Če so bili v začetku svojega obstoja v rosnih 90-ih letih prejšnjega stoletja Deus več glasje, skupek raznolikih glasov, zvočnih estetik in stilov, ki so jih v bend vnašali različni in vedno menjajoči člani zasedbe, so danes eno glasje pevca in kitarista Toma Barmana, ki je ob violinistu in klaviaturistu Klasu Janzusu edini stalni član Boga z malo. Hkrati pa so prvič enovita, kohezivna in ustvarjalno zrela enota in navkljub temu na zadnjih treh ploščah, ki so nastale po šestletnem molku med leti 1999 do 2005, bend ohranja raznolikost, zaradi katere so Deus za glasbeni mainstream neulovljivi in preveč nepredvidljivi, pa čeprav so v 90-ih na začetku svoje poti doživeli velik uspeh. V Ljubljano nocoj prihajajo na krilih lanskoletne plošče Keep You Close, s katere bomo slišali delček skladbe Constant Now. Nato pa poslušamo pogovor z basistom zasedbe Alanom Gvertom, posnetim nekje na poti trimesečne evropske turneje Deus.
History, understand a little more the aftermath of before. Just a moment lost in time, press and pause, it's time to find. Just a moment lost on you, press and play is all that you can do.
On tour, and in the past 20 years Deus did numerous of them, playing more than 100 shows for most of your records. But nowadays it seems that young bands and scene itself is mostly orientated to tour around festivals, which currently run the game also through trendy concepts of so-called creative industry.
Okay.
What is your take on that? It seems to me like lately that only bands with a certain age and tradition are really touring, and younger bands are just passing in between festivals.
Okay. Well, you know, it's kind of difficult to say if it's like something like, you know, where it's a choice of the young bands. I think it's also, in a way, a bit of a surviving thing, in the sense like festivals always have more money.
Yeah.
So if you play there, you will actually maybe get out of your costs.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason. But maybe it's not the only reason. Maybe it's a musical reason. I don't know. But, you know, that's the first reason I can see. It's like, it's, you know, if you do shows in smaller clubs and everything, it costs a lot of money to tour.
Mm-hmm.
And if the shows are not bringing the same amount of money, then it's difficult, because then you lose money and it's difficult to continue that. So maybe, you know, maybe it's a thing like that also, you know. I'm not sure 100%, but it can be.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is how do you call it, part of the reason, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Since in Deus there are many members who have been on the scene for more than 20 years playing music.
Yeah.
What drives you then to still make tours?
Ah, okay.
When the music now in the globalized culture is mostly one click away, you know. Usually
that's,
it was also to bring it to certain places that normally wouldn't be there.
Yes, I understand. But what drives me, I'm, you know, me as an Alan.
Mm-hmm.
One reason why I started playing music is because I love to play music, and I love to play music also in front of people, because it gives you a reason to make the music, and also it's very inspiring all the time. And also, come, you know, it's okay, you can bring out an album and it can come out in 100 different countries, but the life is still something special.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to do that is to travel.
Yeah.
And to tour, because otherwise the people, for instance, Slovakia, Slovenia, would never see the band. And like I said, it's very different life. So I think that's important.
Yeah.
I think stopping touring is for me almost stopping to be a musician.
But don't you think there is a kind of paradox in place, because many young, at least younger generation, rather see band live on YouTube than actually going to a gig?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a difficult question, because in a way, I know what you mean, because of the accessibility of internet and everything. You can have everything home and everything, but still, you know, let's be serious. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, of course not.
You know, I mean, they can say what they want. They can prefer what they want. It's like the difference between watching pornography and making love with a woman in real time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. To take this thing further, Deus have already in 2005, while you were already a member, released one song as free download on your website.
Yes.
Because of which you had some troubles with your record company. Now this is totally common thing to do. How do you see rapid changes in record industry over past 10 years, since you've been around for 40 years yourself?
I mean, for me, it's like, you know, internal of a record company, I don't really know, because, you know, I'm also, it's not something I'm really interested in, actually, to be honest, because if I was, I would spend so much time in that world that I would probably spend not enough time in as in to be a musician.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's just to say, in other words, I could say I'm not really a business oriented person. Of course, I like to make a living doing what I do, and I'm really lucky I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult for me to say, though. The only thing I see is that you can see that too. Some bands, they succeed in doing everything without a record company.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like...
But since, you know, like, since you played in many bands before joining Deus also...
Yeah, I did.
how do you see this thing then related to Deus? Because Deus had a kind of commercial success in the 90s. So
yes.
Do you see that in Deus, for example, compared to your other projects and band, there is sometimes more pressure from record industry?
I must say, with Deus, it's like the first time in the 7 years I've been involved commercially mm-hmm. in the music, in the making of the music, and in the rights, so obviously also in the business of the music. It's the first time.
Yeah.
You know, before that, all these years, I was playing all in bands who played good music that would never get anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I played other bands where it was like the singer, and I was a bass player in with the singer, which I... You know, this is what we call to be a bass player, really. Mm-hmm. So in that time, I didn't have a lot of, like, commercially or business-wise, I didn't have a lot of input, so I really don't know about that, you know? Mm-hmm. I was playing, and I loved what I did, and I was as creative as I could, but I wasn't the guy deciding anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, that's like, it's a different... It's almost like it's a part of life. It's for me, it's the past, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And like I said, with Deus now, it's become the first time that you really feel like you're in a band. Everything is like, you know, shared, you know, what you do mm-hmm. is taken into consideration, et cetera, et cetera, you know? It's just a different feeling. Mm-hmm. It's very, very nice, actually.
Yeah.
So.
In early 90s, when Deus started, at least here, it seems that Antwerpen was a really creative place for music, which holds culminated through Deus. One Slovene journalist early on writing about Antwerpen was questioning himself in this is this European Seattle, I remember, in the 90s.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see.
Since you joined the band in the 2000s, how did you see in the early 90s Deus and the bands and scene around it?
Well, to me, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's just that for me, it was like, you know, first of all, I am 10 years older than most of the guy in the band.
Yeah.
So I am like, you know, 10 years is 10 years. Mm-hmm. Not like a lot, but it is 10 years. Anyway, so what I did before, I already lived a lot of things. I already, you know, I lived in America for 7 years. I was, you know, gone to the States way before Deus even, maybe even started. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I don't know. For me, it's like a different. But I was very happy about the fact that finally, officially, a Belgian band really went over the borders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a Belgian rock band, like a real rock band, really went over the borders because, you know, what I was doing in America, I was playing with Americans basically. That was what I was doing. But I was. Yeah, I was like, I wouldn't say I'm the first guy that went to, you know, the States to, but, you know, as a rock and roll musician, it is, I was doing pretty good, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And Deus, I knew the band when I was living in New York and stuff like that. I didn't have a lot of contact with them because I didn't know them, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny part is that I saw them in New York and I said to Tom, way before I was in the band, I said, here's my number. If you ever want a bass player, call me up, you know? So, and it's not that he kept my little paper, but I got, you know, it's a whole story, of course, how I got with Deus, but, you know, it's just so funny that it actually happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny about it.
Yeah. How important is for Deus to have many voices in a band, to have at least until now a regular flow of musicians?
Yeah.
And what does these different musicians who form Deus history bring to the music itself?
Well, that's I mean, the answer is very simple. You know, every musician brings a different color, a different energy, a different, you know. So every time you actually work with different musicians, the music will fundamentally change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a little different because of the people you play with and the feelings of the musicians and so forth. So I think it's quite, in a way, important. I mean, I'm not saying it's important to change, But it's like, you know, I'm always referring to back to a relationship with, like, say, when you have a relationship in life. When it doesn't work out, then you learn why it doesn't work out, and then you move on to another relationship, and then something beautiful happens in that relationship. Maybe something is not going to work out at the end, and then you learn again something, and then you go on again, you know? It's just like, it's a bit the same in a band, actually, you know? Mm-hmm. It's a bit kind of a relationship, in a way.
Yeah.
It's not a love relationship, like, with a woman, but it is, you know, simply a relationship as well.
But for instance, in Deus, there were always strong authors who were having their own bands, you know, bringing something to the music.
Yes.
So now Deus seems like a more steady lineup in last couple of years. What is their relationship to older Deus from the 90s?
To the older Deus?
Yeah.
I mean, one, you know, it depends which kind of musician. I mean, you know, like the group now is like Stefan, that was a newer one. Also, Mauro is also a newer one, and I'm a newer one. The rest is like original. Mm-hmm. What's different is that one, you know, Stefan was much younger, so he listened to Deus in his way. Mauro was also sometimes even part of Deus in the beginning, mm-hmm. And with other projects with Tom Barman. And I came in much later, so for me it was like a bit of a new thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So this was my kind of energy that I put in, this kind of energy that's like, wow, this is, you know, new, let's give it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think in the beginning they could feel that, but it was really like, it's about energy. Mm-hmm. That's a question that's difficult to answer, because it's like, it's a lot of people that are going to... first thing to do is like to compare the older Deus with the newer Deus, mm-hmm. and the older Deus is made with, you know, a bunch of guys that also changed in time, mm-hmm. but when they were like 20 years old, which is, as you remember, I don't know how old you are, and you know, I'm gonna be 50 this year, and I remember when I was 20, it was like, come on, I mean, you know, it's a whole different. You know, it's very difficult to compare this kind of energy when you're 20 and when you're 60 or something, or 40, you know? So what I meant to say is that Deus now is like a band that's like, in a certain way, it's like a grown-up thing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And some things, and I wouldn't say, you know, it's better or not, or this or that, it's just, it's a different thing, because it's also 20 years later. 20 years in a human life is a long time. Mm-hmm. You change in 20 years. There's a lot of things that are, you know, sort of like happening and this and that, and you get influenced by it, and therefore your music gets influenced as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing I can really say about that, because it's a difficult question. Because I don't want to get into this old Deus vs. new Deus, you know.
Yeah. But if we focus on... last, let's say, 7 years, since you are also a member in
yeah.
the last three albums of Pocket yeah. Revolution, Vanishing Point, and Keep You Close. I remember Tom Barman saying after Pocket Revolution that he wanted to quit Deus because the recording process and everything was a struggle for him. How do things then evolve for the band itself and as a creative process?
Well, I think, you know, what happened when the Pocket Revolution was really finished, it was, I remember being in the studio and doing my first sessions with them on Pocket. And I remember something lightening up in his eyes or something, like, you know, mm-hmm. like something suddenly was opening up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because, you know, if you make an album, at the end of the album, often you're like almost having post-traumatic depression, you know, like it's like sometimes it's just been so much work and so much this and that and that and that and that, fighting and not and this and, you know, it's just a whole process. And I think sometimes after a record, it's like, you know, it's like almost giving birth to a baby, because it's very painful, you know?
Yeah.
It's very painful the way it's, you know, the way it's finally, bam, it's there, you know, after all the work and stuff, and it's really painful. And so it's normal that you go a bit down afterwards, or maybe you get a backlash of it. something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And that happened probably also with Pocket Revolution, after Pocket Revolution. But, you know, Tommy, he's always like, well, when he says that, that's, you know, afterwards, it was like, you know, Vantage Point. And that was probably the same after Vantage Point. And now the albums that you know, that came after, it's just like, yeah, you're just so tired and so, like, you know, you I guess you can say, you know, I'm giving up, I can't anymore, that's it, I'm quitting. Yeah. But that doesn't mean you really quit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And how does the tour then...
How does the what you say?
How does the touring then affect this? Is the kind of touring also a sort of releasing the pressure from the recording?
Yeah, but the touring is great, actually, because indeed, you know, like I said earlier, playing live is why I ever, yeah, became a musician, really. So I guess for the other ones, it's a bit the same thing in a way. I'm not sure, you know, I have never really asked them the same question, but it's very important. I mean, I could have become a studio musician a long time ago, you know, but I didn't. I didn't want to. I couldn't do it. I even tried to make like a normal living playing, like, you know, sessions with some singers left and right and this and publicity and blah, blah, blah. I can't do it. I just can't do it. You understand? You know?
Yeah. And what would be for you personally the difference between these tours compared to the last few ones that you did? Do you feel anything special about this tour that you are going through now?
Well, I think there's not so much difference, except like the band sounds really good, really sharp. And the travelings are a little adapted to, you know, the guys with the families also, you know, children and stuff. You know, it's not like you can travel for 3 months without coming back home. Mm-hmm. So we do touring in a family-friendly way. You understand? Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. That's the way to put it. And I still love touring. It's not easy all the time, I must say, but you adapt a little bit. You know, don't, you know, I mean, this my age also, I come on, I mean, you know, I'm not doing like the same crazy things that I was like 30 years or 20 years ago, you know. You have to be consequent with touring, how hard it is, and what you can actually take. And you have to find your balance into that. And if you find that, you're fine, you know.
Na Radiu Študent ste ravno kar poslušali intervju z basistom Alanom Gevertom iz belgijske zasedbe Deus, ki nocoj nastopa v katedrali Kina Šiška v Ljubljani. Koncert se prične ob 21. Pred Deus pa bo nastopil še duet Little Troubled Kids. Intervju je pripravil Luka Zagoričnik.
Intervju Radia Študent.